Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is a theme that we kind of been with, and I think I probably preached a couple times from this text. I just feel like the Lord led me right back to it, and I'm going to share with you what the Lord has shown me. Some of it may be repeated, but some of it may be new for you. I want to read the first 9 verses, and if you can, please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I pray tonight that you would impress upon our hearts something that we could carry with us for the rest of our life. I believe these are such scriptures that we can. These are things that we can do, that should we do them, I believe, can leave an impact not only in our life, but those that we come in contact with, especially those that are in our family, those that we love dearly. But Lord, I just pray that you'd help us tonight to learn these things, put a desire in our heart to do them. And Lord, we know we need your help. We need the spiritual guidance of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we need to submit to it and surrender to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In about 1983 or 4, I decided I wanted to play golf. And although I had always been kind of prone to do anything athletically that I thought I could do, Miss Glenda, golf is a complex sport in a sense, because it's not just hit the ball as hard as you can or bunt. It's not just pitch the ball or catch the ball. It has a lot of different things, and most of you all don't know all those intricate things, but that's why Tiger Woods in his popularity was so big, because he was able to do what he did at a level that had not been seen for such a long time. Now Jack Nicklaus was there too, but his was spread out over a longer period of time of about another 5 years. And again, y'all don't know none of that stuff. But I started reading books. I started practicing, Brother Bill. I got to where I could do it. And now I understand inherently in my mind, if I watch somebody swing a golf club a couple times, I know initially what they need to do to help them just do a little bit better. Now, I'm not a golf coach, but I can at least look at somebody and go, that won't work, or hey, that'll work if they'll just, you know, just a little bit of something here and there. And the reason why I say that is I got to where I was pretty good, and then I hurt my back and I was unable to do it. Here we're talking about teaching. We're talking about learning first. Now, how many remember me saying the statement last week, and I think it was Wednesday night, about the preacher that told me that how can you say you're a disciple of God if you're not a soul winner? And the way I said that is, doesn't Jesus say, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. He tells us that, doesn't he, Miss Bernie? So how can we say we're a disciple? And here's the thing, if we're not a disciple, what's the demotion? What's the part below that? What are we then? We're just a believer, right? We all should want to strive to do more. And here tonight we're going to talk about something that's really easy and we can all do. We have to put effort into it. We have to learn how to do it. Now, what we see here in verses 4 through 6 is something that's repeated in the New Testament, and they call it in the Old Testament either the Shema or the Shemu. Now, my Hebrew's terrible. I don't know what they would call it, Miss Becky, in the regular Hebrew, but that's a word. And when those kids in their household, they memorized these verses, and they quoted them when they got up and when they went to bed. They quote them. Now, I don't know if it started right while they were in the wilderness, whether they got in, but Moses is giving these instructions, and that's what their kids. And when you watch something that's pretty biblically based as far as a Christian movie about those times, they could quote scriptures. I'm curious. Is there anybody in the building that can quote five scriptures from five different places right now? Without picking a little cheesy short ones, okay? Throw that out there real quick. I mean, they learned long. Some of them could memorize the whole first five books of the Bible, Jace. I can't memorize a chapter. Well, I mean, I learned 1 John chapter 1, and then probably a week later I couldn't get through the fourth verse, okay? So I was sitting there doing that, just kind of learning to do that. But this is like so clear, and we got kids and we got grandkids and we got little ones. You know, how are we going to do this? It tells us right here. Now you say, does this transfer to the New Testament? I believe it's real easy because Jesus repeated it in two or three different places in his teaching. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And, you know, that's obedience. And then treat others as you would. Those are the two main laws. And you've heard me repeat this. If we love God, we should obey Him. In my Sunday school class this morning, we were kind of talking about the new covenant, and I made observation that little Micah, he turned 5, okay? He's a whole handful now. He was a handful, Miss Becky, before he turned a handful, but he was a handful. But anyway, there are times when his daddy or mom will say something to him, and he'll just kind of look back at them and just keep on trucking. Y'all ever had any kids do that? What about a hand here? Amen or something. But here's the deal. They don't always keep doing that. Now, again, I told you Wednesday that we run into Micah's Sunday school teacher, and he was telling us, Miss Lola, how polite he was, how helpful he was, how well-behaved he was. And I know his daddy does not believe that. His daddy does not believe that. But I've seen Micah on that turn because he's been taught that, Jace. But at home, sometimes we got a little bit of a off-balance kind of thing there that we all have. I'm sure I did it, okay? Norma, she looks nice, but I bet she did it too. But Moses writes this down, and he gives us first thing. He gives the purpose for this thing. And it says here that, now these are the commandments, statutes, judgments. And then he goes on and he says, which the Lord God commanded to teach you. My point is here, there's a purpose here. The first thing is, as adults, we got to know the Bible. We got to know the Bible. And what do you think maybe the weakest thing is in America right now? If the studies are correct, what is the weakest thing that we're the weakest at as Christians in America? Biblical illiteracy. I don't even know if I pass the test. I'm just saying that the statistics. I'm not even taking into consideration people that I know. The statistics say that Americans, they don't study the Bible. They may read it, study the Bible. And again, don't want to get lost out there in studying, you know, eschatology, you know, those big words that I don't even really want to talk about. I'm just talking about just study the Bible. Amelia, as an example, and I'm just using this because I was studying this and I just used it. She was in the backyard. She's a girl. She's emotional, Norma. Mike had done something, took a ball, and she was sad. Then she got mad. And then she wanted to go off to herself. And I said, you know, I was talking to her, and I'm going to cut to the chase. I said, you know what Jesus said, don't you? He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And she said, yeah, but you don't know what Mike had done to you. I said, Jesus didn't say do unto others as they did to you. You treat them the way you want to be treated. And I said, regardless of how they treat you. That's a little bit of teaching. That's a little bit of Bible to the kid. And like I said, I'm just using it as an illustration. And is that going to help her? It's imprinted in her. I got it stamped on her once, Miss Bernice. I didn't have to go up and whack her over the head and say, no, you quit doing that. I just so told her. I said, the Bible says, and if we know the Bible, we can use that through our life. I mean, it's like when the guy pulls out in front of you in traffic and you want to miss Lisa. Honk, honk, you idiot. If we got people in here that do that, I'm just looking away at this moment. Hey, if I do that, I'm thinking Jesus would say, Rick, no. And I had something the other day that was serious, and I'm not going to go into the case of it, that I was really uptight about. Luckily, I got to drive from Stanford to Danville, and the Lord just like, you're thinking about this all wrong. You're thinking about this all wrong. Because I was ready to respond in a totally different way. And by the time we got to the Boyle County line, or me and the Lord did, Miss Becky, Lord done beat me up enough. I said, I got you, Lord. I'll do it that way. I will do that. How is that? We learn that we're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to love. God gives us the purpose. And he says that ye might, he wants to teach it to us, but not only that, but it says that ye might do them in the land where ye go to possess, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Now, we've always heard that is reverence. That's kind of true, it is. But this fear is I got it written down here so I wouldn't miss it, to revere, be afraid, to fear, be afraid, to stand in awe of, be awed. That goes a little bit further than just reverence. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, I was a scrawny little kid. I told you, I know y'all don't believe that. My dad was 6'6" and 250 to 300. I don't know where he fit at there all the time. He was an imposing figure to me. I feared him. My dad had a little bit of a temper. I didn't want to, and I did every now and then cross that line, but I feared him. You know what? God loves us, but you know he will chastise us. Just saying, if you have something going through your life, you may want to consider, Lord, what have I done? I'm not saying that's it 100% because I don't think we can know that all the time. But it says that thou mightest fear to what? To keep all his statutes. Just as I told Amelia, that little thing about do unto others as they would have, that you would have them do unto you, I got to live that out. I got to do that. I can't expect to tell her and not do it myself. I got to do that, Miss Glenda. And then also we see that this fear is followed up here with the statutes and commandments which I've commanded thee. And then it passes it on. It says, thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that it, what? That thy days may be prolonged. So that tells me that maybe I can live a little longer. Maybe I can. And God gives promises like this, but we're to pass this on from generation to generation. See, Miss Lisa and Paul are to pass it on to Lance and Matthew. And if they have success and their children are believers, true believers, they will pass it on to their kids. I got a bad feeling that when we fail in one generation, the next generation is not going to be as good. Would you agree with that? I'm afraid in America we're right there. I lived that at Mount Hebron. The generation of guys when I started going there that were 60 and above, they were hard working farmers, milkers. They quoted Bible verses. I mean, it was amazing. I never seen nothing to beat it in all my days that I've seen. Daddy Brogel would quote verse after verse, and I mean, and he used it, Jason, in situations. He didn't just quote verses randomly and say, "Hey, I got 100 verses memorized." You'd be out there working on the wall, and he said, "Well, you know, it says the plumb line and Book of Amos." I mean, he'd use that stuff. You're like, "Whoa." Brother Bill tells me he studied the Bible. He didn't just read it. He studied it. And plus, he had somebody, and I never got to meet his mother. I got to meet his wife, and I can see how he would be. His wife was a beautiful lady. I mean, I can't even, there's few people like Mama Brogel that I can't describe her, but she kind of took me and Jenny under her wing when we first come to Mount Hebron, and really just like made us feel so welcome. And she had just a soft-spoken voice. And I tell one little story about her, and Brother Jerry would go to visit her. She had 12 kids, okay? And he'd go to visit her, and she lived just down from the parsonage, and she always left her door unlocked. She always told Brother Jerry to come on in any time. And he would go in, and she would be in a particular place praying, and she always prayed out loud, and he'd come in, and she was praying, Norma. So he's like, just backs out, gets in his vehicle. 2.5 hours later, he comes back. What's Mama Brogel do? Still praying. Brother Jerry says she's lifting up them grandchildren, great-grandchildren. She said she's not just mentioning just general, it's specific and in-depth. And she not only did that, Miss Bernice, she would sit them little kids down and say, "Now, honey, you know how Jesus did?" I mean, it's just like amazing. Wasn't forced, wasn't contrived, and she passed it on. You can meet some of them family members. They still got some of Mama Brogel in them. And her, I guess it's her daughter, Doris, which is in a nursing home today with Alzheimer's. She was a lot the same way. So it's passed on, and I see some of their kids. And I see that here, too, to a degree. But can we do better? Should we have it more of a focus? We probably should. So there's a purpose, and then there's a promise. Look on down at verse 3. He says here, "Therefore, Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." You know, if you go over there today, I've seen pictures. I ain't been to the promised land, okay? So don't want you to misunderstand me. It's not the land that floweth with milk and honey today. Y'all know that? Y'all know why? God said, if you'll obey me, observe to do all the commandments, Brother Paul, and the statutes, I will provide everything you need. He said, if you don't, you can go over there today. It's rocks. It's desert. Oh, there's some trees and stuff there, and they have irrigation is the way they keep stuff going over there today. But it's not the land flowing with milk and honey today, and that means they have failed. But not only this, the first word is here. I'll go back to Micah. If I say, "Micah," he may hear me, but yet not respond. God speaks to us a lot of times, and we hear him, but we don't respond. I fail at that a lot. You know, God will say something. You know, I'll pray about something. Maybe on Monday I pray about something. Tuesday afternoon the Lord speaks to me and I'm like, "I heard you." I don't connect it. I don't connect it as a either an answer prayer or what I need to move forward in obedience. But you know, funny thing is, here is to listen, to obey. Just saying for fun, wives, parents, grandparents. I don't know why I put that in there. Just put that in there. Watching the UK ball game, which I don't do anymore, and your wife comes through and says, "Honey, could you take the trash out?" Sure. 10 minutes later, "Did you take the trash out?" "Oh, yeah, I'm going to." Eyes still glued on the TV. None of y'all done that, right? That's why y'all are looking at me mean. This is fun stuff right here, okay? But let's move on. It says to hear, and hear is to obey, guys. This here is not just like, you know, I heard thunder. If you really hear like this here is, you seen the lightning when it thundered. I mean, that's how that happens. But he goes on to say that increased mightily. I think God's multiplication in this deal is pretty cool. You know, it's one thing, like I say, to hear. And what does he go on to say? Observe. So you hear, obey. What does it mean? I'm planning on it. If you say, "Hey, I'm going to read the Bible," I'm going to start reading my Bible. And I've heard person after person after person, especially at Vacation Bible School, church camp, "Brother Rick, I'm going to start reading my Bible." You see him 2 weeks later. "Well, you know, I started, but I had trouble." And they'll give me whatever reason, excuse, problem. My favorite with the little kids is, "I lost my Bible and my brother threw it away," or "my brother took it." Miss Bernice, we passed out Bibles here when they come to the youth program, passed them out. And Leah, sitting up here, she told me for 2 weeks in a row she'd lost her Bible and that Trenton took it. So every week I'd ask Trenton, "So Trenton, you take her Bible?" "No, she just don't want to bring it." I never did get to the truth, okay? But I did find a Bible down in the fellowship hall that had Leah written in it. So I don't know what's with that. But look, it says to observe. In other words, we're going to plan. See, God's got a purpose. He's got a promise, but we got to plan on fulfillment. You know, and Matthew, I'm sorry, but you're getting ready to graduate. If you're going to follow God's plan, you're going to have to prepare and make your mind up and do it. Mom and Dad can pray for you, urge you. They can give you the Bible. They can. But if he doesn't, Miss Lisa, decide to do that, it's not going to happen. And he may be like me. He may be like, well, no, he ain't going to be like me. No, he ain't going to be like me, Matthew. If you are, I'm sorry. I really am. Sorry for your mom and dad ahead of schedule. I'm sure my mom and dad seen me at age 16, 17, and 18, and they just didn't know how to get a hold of the wheel, okay? But I'm just saying, they thought I would be on prayer. They just hope I didn't end up in prison or whatever on the evening news or something like that, okay? But let's move on from that. But anyway, let's go to the plan. We've got to look on down to verse 7. Now, I left out the Shumer or the Shamu because we know that part. But I want to get to this last part. It says there in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently." How much effort do you think that takes to do something diligently? Jason, when I was learning how to play golf, I would read the book, and I got one book. I called it my golf Bible. And I still call it my golf Bible. It's a Jack Nicklaus book. It's my golf Bible. It's up on the shelf. I ain't looked at it for a long time. But I would sit there and look at the pictures of Jack Nicklaus. How he come back. I would be at work and I'd be mimicking that. And then I'd go to a driving range and I would hit golf balls. You know, do all that stuff. I was working hard at it. And I had kids that were coming along. But I'd put effort into it. So if we're going to teach our kids, it might take away from what we like to do and put our diligent efforts into. Because I found out in 1985, when my son was born, I hurt my back. I had to figure out what I was going to put my interest in. And all along, God's dealing with me how I should do it. And it took me a long time to get it even close to right. And I'm not even sure if I ever made it to the right way of doing it, okay? I'm just telling you. I take my learning experience and say, hey, get ready before. Get ready before. Don't wait until, like, oh, I need to do this. Start preparing to teach. That's not talking about teach a Sunday school class. We are to learn the Bible and be prepared to teach our children, moms, dads, grandparents, how far, how much, intensely, powerfully, faithfully. And then it says, verse 7 here, this is where we're going to end up here in just a moment. Thou and shall talk. That can be a text. I'm putting this into modern translation, Whitney, okay? You can text. You can text your kids a Bible verse. You can text them of something. Call your mother. She hasn't heard from me for a couple days. She'd like to talk to you. You can do that. But talk is communication. And talking to Miss Ginger out in the parking lot, she said she doesn't like to talk on the phone that much. She said Miss Glenda doesn't either, really. And she's agreeing. And it's fine. But she said when she's talking face to face, and now Vince was standing there, okay, so he was amening this. She said, but now face to face, I like to talk. And Vince is like, so we all have our time when we really like to communicate. Okay, now, I'm not big on phones. I'll talk to anybody anywhere, but my biggest thing is in open-air communication. Like when I just run into you or we're just sitting around talking. Now, God called me to preach. I was not really feeling I was qualified, and you can give your grade to God. I'm not even worried about the grade you would give me, but I'm just saying I'd rather talk to you out on the porch than I would here. And speak to you because y'all just look at me like this and I don't know whether you're taking it or whether you're liking it, whether you're like, hey, give me some more or whatever. But talk is communicate. It means to speak, declare, converse, command, promise, warn, threaten. You ever threaten them kids when you're trying to get them to do something? I have. I mean, I would tell my boys got teenage, they were both pretty good big boys, and they would jokingly say that they were big enough to take their dad down. I told them, I said, y'all have no idea what y'all get into on that deal. I was like, because I'll pick up a steak knife, I'll do whatever I have to do to survive. I said, I am not. And I've warned people, I'm not a great fighter. I don't box good. I don't, but I'm a survivor. Don't come up and grab me because I will grab something and make something hurt. I may get beat up, killed, or whatever tomorrow. I'm not a good one to play around with. But what are we supposed to do? Supposed to really sink our teeth into this. And what does it say? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk to them when thou sittest in thine house. When thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. It tells me it's pretty much an all-day job. Miss Becky has the privilege of having Aubrey at her house. Miss Sherry won't be long, that one that's fell asleep over there. You're going to have more time to fill into Paisley's life. Now look, you're not going to sit there and read Bible verses all day long. That would get perilous, okay? But you got those principles, those statutes, those commandments that we learn, and at the given time we're able to say, oh, you know, the Lord showed me, or the Lord, let me tell you what, I mean, I can't fill in those blanks. But if we have the Word of God in us and we try to pour it into somebody, you know what it'll do? It'll soak on them. It'll fall in the holes and the crevices that they need. And Moses is telling these people, when you go into this land, you need to teach them diligently, passionately. And then he says, communicate, when you're sitting around the house. That's harder to do today than ever. Micah, last night when we were leaving, it was bath time, okay? All right? And we're outside getting ready to leave, and Michael's wanting to go in and watch something Jurassic Park, okay? He knows that we're leaving, Whitney. And he's like, I done hugged everybody. I'm going to watch Jurassic Park. And his mother said, no, we're going to take a bath. He said, while you're waiting, I'm going to, and he's ready to shut the door because they're still outside. It was cracking me up because, I mean, he probably going to get every minute he can. And he did. He took off, and he got about, I guess, a couple of minutes. Jurassic Park, because they can operate all the controls now, okay? They can grab a phone and do better with it than you can, okay? It was hilarious. So he's like, yeah, and then boom, he's gone. Amelia just stand up there. She's not watching Jurassic Park, but what I'm trying to say is we got a lot of distractions today, folks. Somehow we got to try to figure out how to get in on that. Now, I don't know for sure where you're at on this. But I will kind of just finish with this way. Look at those last two verses before we close. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. That tells me that it's about our works and the things that we do. And they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. Now that's what you see in the pictures. They got the little boxes tied to their head, the phylacteries, if I said that right. It's not necessarily, they would take little boxes, put a verse in it, and you see it in Jewish times today, Hebrew, they put it on there and got a band on it, you got a box right there on their head, and they would do that. So they get that word of God into their brain. It don't work that way, okay? That's not what God's saying there, Brother Paul, but they still do it over there, even today. He's saying, get it in your mind and your heart. Read it so much where it's in your mind and it just spills down there. And then he goes on. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates. You know, if you desire this enough, you'll be able to put it in your house without writing it on your house. But you probably should write it. I remember when I hadn't been here too long, Brother Denny's sitting there, and I was teaching something about the Ten Commandments. I don't remember what the lesson was. He makes the bold statement. Well, everybody ought to have the Ten Commandments posted in their house. I don't know if Miss Bernice remembers this or not. And I don't remember what I said. Well, brother, do you have them posted at your house? He's like, well, sure I do. And I seen how to do a little like that, and I didn't think nothing about it. The next service, Brother Dean's like, I have an admission to make. I do not have the Ten Commandments posted in my house. He said, I looked everywhere. I told Hal, and Hal told me on the way home, and I said, I don't think you do. He said, but I got a copy of them posted now. It's not so much about putting them on your wall. And I've got the Ten Commandments on my wall, and it's a picture that my mom gave me, and it's a little, you got to get this close to it to read it. But I'm talking about the Word of God in your house. Not on a poster, not on a something like that. You don't put it on there, that's great. And again, I think that these things take sometimes even a generation to get into our people. And I say our people, I'm talking about our children, our nephews, our cousins, our brothers, sisters, our moms, dads. It can work backwards and forth from moms to grandparents, you know, back and forth that way. I don't know what y'all want to do with this message, but I think that we can do better. And I think we got to get more serious about the Word of God. Let's all stand so we can close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray for our young people, the future of our young people. And Lord, we got some that are graduating college, graduating high school. We got some little guys that are running around here. We need to do our job. We need to do it so they can do their job later on in life. But Lord, it all centers around and focuses around the Word of God. It's not absent of salvation. Salvation is in Christ alone, but The Word of God is how we live and how God instructs us. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God, I pray that you'll just do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.